This is the Cubs-related podcast presented by Cubs Insider. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes by searching Cubs-related in the search box. We will be the first podcast that pops up. And if you can, please rate and comment on this show. It helps us quite a bit. With me is Corey. Corey, what do you have for us?
Well, Brendan, the Cubs are, technically speaking, back in first place. And I guess we'll just have to throw a feeler out to the Twitterverse and, you know, the general fandom if we're allowed to, you know, like, I don't know, are we still angry? Are we still very concerned? Are we allowed to be, like, comfortable yet with
no,
this team?
Yet. Or,
no,
I mean,
not
we,
yet.
Our anger level can be tuned down a little bit, okay. But give it one more week and then we'll be right back to where we should be.
I just always like to, you know, it's just, you just never know anymore, like, where our emotional panic level or excitement level should be.
Right.
So I just, you know, I just like to check in every now and again. But
yeah.
In all seriousness, no, the Cubs are back in first place. And it's a little strange. It's felt like on the last, like, several shows that we've done.
It's going in these, like, weird.
It's a completely different tone. Every single time, like, you know, the one time we're talking people off the ledge, the next we're back in first place. Let's talk about, you know, meeting the Red Sox in the World Series or whatever, or I guess the Astros. You know, then we're back to everybody should be in AAA. And, you know, here we are. We're back in first place. Cubs are on a 4-game winning streak. They swept the stupid Cardinals and everybody feels great, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird 4-game winning streak to me. I don't know. It feels like it didn't really happen. I can't really explain it. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't even know if you know what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel...
Well, I mean, maybe. I just... It did kind of feel like it was such a struggle
right?
up until that point. And it was just like, oh, okay. Like, that was a... You know, that was pretty easy. Like, you know, they trailed the Cardinals late in a couple of those games. All right, well, let's just get the runs back.
Yeah,
it was like,
it was very odd.
Okay, well, where was this team for last, like, 2 months? Because this is great, but, okay.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, like, it's weird because you have Schwarber who has, what, one base hit in the last 4 games and happened to be a grand slam. And then even...
Most of his hits are homers.
I think, I forgot who tweeted this, but I think in his last 20 plate appearances, all he has are walks, strikeouts, and homers. It's crazy. It's like a modern-day Adam Dunn.
I mean, that's, you know, like, almost what you kind of expect, I guess.
I guess. But, like, even KB, I think he's, I want to say, 2 for his last 16, and 2 of the hits have been homers. So it's weird because they're not really, like, hitting, and on, you know, they're not all, like, going off as a team. It's just they've won 4 games in a row, and I have no idea how they've done it. So
well, I think this is maybe in part what was so frustrating about, I guess, up until this Friday, you know, or however you want to look at that. But I think one of the most frustrating parts is that we all knew that even if they weren't playing as well as they could or like last year, or, you know, leading the league in every category, we knew they shouldn't be under 500. And don't get me wrong, they deserved it. Like, while they were in that stretch, and, you know, maybe they're not done. I don't know. Like, the 4 games doesn't erase everything. The bad games don't, you know, change the whole thing. It, you know, we see where they go from here. But I think we all knew that even, like, playing okay, they should not be under 500 and a disaster in some of these areas. So I think this weekend was more like, yeah, it's still not perfect. We still got to figure out the lineup, figure out everybody's playing time. We still have a couple guys not really going the way we want them to yet, but we should still be winning a decent chunk of these games.
Right, and the pitching staff has been better. I mean, Lester had a prototypical Lester start against St. Louis. Had his first pickoff. I know you are especially happy about that. And then Hendricks kind of did his thing. I don't know. I don't know what to think about Hendricks. Like, again,
it's very strange. That's two straight outings where he's throwing, like,
thing.
What, a no-hitter through the first 3 or 4 innings, and then it just all goes off the rails.
I mean, like, he did – I don't even know how to even put this. Like, the first 3 innings, he's, like you said, he's on point. Then the 4th inning comes around, it's like, oh, God, here we go. And usually that happened to Hendricks, what, the 3rd time through in previous years, even last year. So now it's happening sooner. Which gives me concern about, you know, how long this can last for. But regardless, you know, he kept the Cubs in the game. Got through the St. Louis order once without any trouble, so that does help. Even Eddie Butler today against the Marlins looked pretty good. The command was better. He only walked one batter. He struck out four. And then Montgomery comes in and finishes the game off with three innings and a third and just closes it out. So, I mean, the pitching has been better. Wade Davis is finally getting some time. Strope had a really critical outing. I think it was in game two of the St. Louis series where he comes in and he strikes out a batter with the bases chucked, gets out of it. So the bullpen has been better. Rondon did give up that homer, but overall, the two takeaways I think from these last four games is while the offense has not been, you know, your prototypical Cubs offense, the defense has been better, the pitching has been a little bit better, and that's been enough to win the games.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we talked about this before. They don't need to play perfectly. They don't really need to do anything special right now. They just need to take advantage of playing teams that I think they're better than. You know, we can, you know, debate how good we think St. Louis or Miami are on the whole or whatever. But, like, you know, they're at home. They should be winning the majority of these games. And, you deal with the field as it comes. You know, like we said the last time, it doesn't matter if, like, the Nationals are playing better than them. The Astros, right? The Astros have won 11 straight games. They look unbelievable. They're blowing everybody out. And, you know, it doesn't matter that the Cubs, in comparison, don't look at the same level. Like, they're not playing the Astros right now. They're not in the playoffs right now. So, you know, this is a step in definitely the right direction from when we last spoke. So I think for right now, we're all just like, okay, great.
Yeah. Well, since we last spoke, Schwarber was batting second. And one of the main talking points from our last episode was, when do you actually move Schwarber down from the top of the order? You said, do it now. I said, give it about a week or so. The very next day, like within 12 hours, the lineup came out. Schwarber was batting seventh. And then the game directly after that, he was batting last. So we've gone from Schwarber in the leadoff spot to the second spot to batting last, all within about a week. Any general thoughts? I mean, you got to be pretty happy about it.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I was happy about it.
Well, I mean, not happy, but
I didn't really necessarily, as we've discussed, you know, plenty of times I'm here, like, lineup construction is mostly negligible, depending on the exact conversation you're having. But I guess my hope was that being down there would just sort of maybe allow a more relaxed approach, or just, you know, not that it would take the scrutiny off of him, but that perhaps it would take it in a different direction, because perhaps people wouldn't perceive him to be throttling the offense as much, I guess, because he wasn't leading off or batting directly around.
Yeah, I mean, like,
Rizzo and Bryant. So, you know, and I don't know. It's only been a few games, so we can't really judge it yet. But I thought it was the move of the time. Now, to be fair, if you had asked me if I wanted Ian Happ to replace him,
exactly,
I think I wanted that less. So it's a weird spot that we're in, but
well, yeah. Joe's
playing some games here.
Brett. Yeah, it's like almost. I think you said it was almost too cavalier, but I don't like Happ leading off and having Schwarber bat last. To me, it almost negates the purpose of batting Schwarber last. Mm-hmm. The reason why Joe, when Addison Russell was a rookie, the reason why he batted him last was to give him, as Joe called, protection. So rather than bat a rookie in front of the pitcher and get pitches that are outside the strike zone and unhittable pitches, you put him in front of a hitter who's established and you get more pitches, hopefully over the middle of the plate or just in the zone in general. And I don't know. I don't think, based on Ian Happ's, well, he did hit two homers in Sunday's game, but before that, I don't think the scouting report was, I don't think any of the reports were shaking with Ian Happ behind Schwarber. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't think it does anything to Schwarber's plate appearances. So
the strange thing for me, and I mentioned this in our, you know, text or whatever, but it just seemed very strange to me that Happ is the choice to lead off. in the middle of like a 2-for-30 stretch with a ton of swinging strikeouts.
Right.
And then the day after he hits 2 home runs, he's not in the lineup at all.
Yeah.
I get it, and there can be many different mindsets to that. I don't know if, you know, he just needed a day off or Joe wanted him to like marinate in the home runs. Yeah. But it just seems a little strange. Well,
it's almost too – I don't know. I mean, I'm not here to criticize Joe's decisions because he has more of a grip on the emotional psyche of these guys. But it's odd because if you're going to use lineup construction as a way to get these guys psychologically hyped, right? Because, I mean, that's what we think is going on. Then I don't know. Like, then you keep Schwarber up there, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because if you and I both know, Corey, that Hap really, at that time point, should not have been hitting the top 4 spots in the order.
Right.
Zobrist, even Hayward, even Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant were all performing substantially better than Hap. So if you want to give the Cubs the best chance to produce runs, Hap realistically shouldn't have been batting there. So from my perspective, it was a psychological boost to bat him lead off. You give him the confidence in the midst of struggles, and you hope he works it out, which he did, which, to Joe's credit, maybe did actually work. But I don't know. I don't get it. Either you do – I don't know. Everyone's so different. All these guys are so different. But to me, it's either you go all in with your mindset of batting everyone lower in the lineup that's struggling, all these young guys like Schwarber, like Hap, you just bat them, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th, or you keep them where they're at for a bolt of confidence. But I guess it is individualistic. But I don't know. These lineups have just been so odd to me, and I do hope that Zobrist is the leadoff hitter going forward every game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was especially strange because I think at the time, and I mean, I don't know that, you know, just this weekend really changes that, but I think a lot of us were thinking that perhaps Hap was not really ready to be in the MLB, like, full time. And we've discussed before that that's not really a bad thing. He's very young, and he wasn't really anticipated to be up that quickly anyway. And all of a sudden now he's leading off half the games. It's just a little weird.
It's
like,
weird.
It didn't seem like he was really adjusted that well, and like it wouldn't have been that big a deal for him to go down. And I mean, I'm thrilled he hit the home runs. Like, of course I want him to play well.
Yeah.
It just was odd. It just like didn't it seemed like we were a lot I guess my point is it seemed like we were a lot closer to him being sent down, let alone not only is he in the lineup every day, but he's leading off.
Yeah, I don't know.
Joe's just a little all over the place. I mean, I feel like normally we can all kind of figure out sort of what's going on, and lately it's just been a little more all over the place. Stuff that we can't really appreciate just on the surface. You know, Joe's doing stuff with his gut or with what he's seeing or feeling that we just aren't really gonna get too much insight into.
I know. Like, he did talk to Schwarber about moving him down in the order, and according to Joe, Schwarber understood, and the conversation went, as you would expect, very well. I wonder what they actually talked about, whether it was a decision to put the Cubs in better shape to score runs, or solely just to give Schwarber a mental, I don't know. It's so individualistic. Regardless, you know, it is what it is. I would like to see Contreras bat in the top 5 more often. His at-bats recently have been really good. I mean, just the way he's taking pitches in general. Like, I wouldn't mind a lineup order right now of Zobrist, Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras, Hayward, you know, something like that. And I think it's kind of going under notice what Contreras has been doing. I mean, he had 2 knocks tonight. He almost went yard. He's producing more runs than the average hitter. So I don't understand, you know what I'm trying to say, Corey? Like, I feel like he should be getting more chances. If it's not in the, you know, 2, 3, 4 hole, somewhere, at least in the top 5.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. But going forward, I mean, I forgot if we even left off with this in the last show, but like, I at least I said, like, I can see them going on a run here. And we have the Marlins for two more, and then we have who do we have coming up next? We have the Rockies at home next, and you know the wins are nice, but I still do want to see some of the pitching come around. And tomorrow we have Arrieta, but
favorite day of the week.
Yeah, God, more anxiety. But the question I want to talk about. And we're already almost approaching mid-June, and Joe was asked about it today, but the sixth starter, do you want to see a sixth starter now, or do you think the Cubs should wait maybe until after the All-Star break? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really sure how it would work, I guess.
What do you mean?
Just because
it goes to a six-man rotation, you put Montgomery in there.
Or
you put Brett Anderson back in there.
Well, right. I mean, I guess that's what I meant. It's that Montgomery is proving to be pretty necessary on these Butler days. So I was just wondering who you'd be slotting in there and, you know, who would be expected to eat all those innings. I mean, you could get it done, you know, with guys like Grimm and stuff like that. But this just feels like it's working kind of nicely. And I'm in the camp that I don't have any interest in really even seeing if Brett Anderson could do it. I mean, maybe if he pitched well in lower levels, but I'm pretty uninterested in that as a concept.
He's going to be back soon. He was in.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. I'm sorry, but I want him to do well. I just don't think it's going to go well. And I just guess I'd rather spend the time doing something else.
That's fair.
But, you know, it's a little bit of a different situation, I guess, than I felt about it in the past years, because I think in the past years, everybody was performing so well. And, you know, obviously their velos were higher and you were just getting better numbers out of some of these guys that it felt more pragmatic to be thinking, okay, how can we keep everybody fresh? You know, can we be doing anything to be proactive about the kind of longer term thought? And it just, I don't know, it just feels a little, I feel a little uneasy about, you know, pushing all these guys and having someone like Brett Anderson pitching in the middle of this. Like, I don't, you know, can we really afford to be doing that?
Right now, probably not, right?
You know, because it's like, obviously, again, you know, we're not like expecting the Brewers or Cardinals to like be doing super big things here. Not that the Cubs, you know, like I'm not saying they're going to walk to the division or anything like that, but I don't think it would be the biggest deal to do it. But I at the same time, I think like, you know, maybe we need our best five guys out there, especially when they're not really performing at their best, rather than, you know, having so many days started by guys that we really, you know, really just, I don't know if you're that comfortable counting on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the counter to that point is, you know, if you give Arrieta, Lester, and Hendricks more time in between starts, especially for guys like Arrieta and Hendricks, mm-hmm. that their velocity might, you know, have an uptick,
sure.
or the stuff might come back because they're giving them more rest.
Sure.
And I mean, if that's the case, go for it. I wouldn't be opposed to even doing it right now. I think having, you know, Anderson take over Mike Montgomery's spot in the pen is not a bad idea. I'm curious because I'm not convinced that a playoff rotation is set right now with those top four guys. I can see Lackey even being put off. And so I want to give Montgomery a chance to settle in as a full-time starter. And he's pitched well out of the bullpen. The command hasn't been there, but at some point, I want to see it. And I want to see it because I think he may have a chance to, you know, if something happens to the other four regular starters, or if Lackey still pitches terribly going forward, I want a stable, a little bit more reliable arm in a playoff rotation scenario. And I think we're getting to the point where Montgomery at least deserves a shot. You know, these three-inning outings are great, but let's be realistic here. Like, you're not maximizing someone's value by only – like, the fact that we're talking about Mike Montgomery in a three-inning outing as being good proves that really we're not maximizing his value. Let's give him six innings. Let's do it once every – let's put him in a starting role and just to see what would happen. Also – you know, we do have other guys in AAA, like Alec Mills, for example. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He's had three starts in AAA, and he's not giving up any runs. I mean, the strikeouts are a little bit down, but in what is it, in three starts, his ERA is 3.21. His command has been good, 1.9 walk per nine. So, yeah, I'm cool with doing it right now, to be honest with you. No, it's different from what we think. When do you think it would actually happen? Do you think the Cubs will even do this year, given that they're still, you know, a little bit above 500? Do you think we'll even see this?
If they believe in the merit of the idea, and especially with what you said at the beginning, where if they believe that it would benefit these guys whose velos have been down, who have been a little more inconsistent, if they thought that would be a solution to that, then absolutely, I think that they'd do it.
Yeah.
And look, it's something that you can abandon pretty quickly if it's, you know, proving like, okay, maybe Montgomery's, you know, those three innings, that was great. And, you know, now we're asking too much, or Brett Anderson stinks, or whatever it is. You know, can, it's not an unchangeable thing.
Yeah, you can change it around here and there. And then another hot topic, and I forgot to mention this previously. I don't know how I forgot, but we have a rotating carousel of sorts with Russell and Baez at shortstop now. That's
changed. And not officially, right?
No, it's official.
Is it?
Yeah, Madden said it's official. He'll rotate him in. It's a rotation.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. You're right. I do remember saying it. Yep. Yeah.
So, I'm shocked that I'm talking about this in June. You know, I had high hopes for Russell going into the year. I have a post on Cubs Insider coming out tomorrow, going into detail about Russell's struggles. So read that if you're curious. I don't know, Corey. Like, I want to see Javi play more, obviously, but not at the expense of Russell's development. And I'm fairly convinced that whatever shoulder injury he was dealing with, whether the pain is still there or not, the lingering effects of that type of injury, it's still there. I don't know if you saw some of the close pitches and some of his swings in the last weekend, but he just does not look the same swinging the bat. And it seems like too much of a coincidence to me that when he comes back from a shoulder injury, he suddenly cannot throw the baseball nor hit the baseball far. Like, that's, you know what I'm trying to say? There's like, there's too much association there for me not to think that it's an actual lingering problem. But it makes sense, I guess, to rotate Baez, and hopefully maybe the shoulder does heal up. I don't know.
Yeah, I it's hard to say because they don't really lead in on anything with the shoulder. They keep saying no. So,
yeah, but like even last year hit his wrist injury the entire year.
Right. You know, no, I'm not saying I necessarily believe them. I'm just saying they're not, you know, giving really an inch on that. You know, look, I think most of us were very high on Addison Russell, and we're expecting big things. And like you said, I think it is what it is. I think it makes sense now. If there is something physical, you know, we don't necessarily know that extra rest would help, but maybe it would. It seems like maybe that would be worth trying. And I guess, you know, you need, they want to get Baez in the game. And I mean, I guess it sort of circles back a little bit to the Hap discussion, because it's a little weird to me that, you know, Hap is allowed to play through being pretty bad at the plate for a little stretch of time, but he's in there every day. He's leading off. And, you know, now Russell's in a platoon, I guess. And even Baez, you know, Baez is having a great year. Like, why aren't we working a little harder to just get him in the lineup every day?
And
you know,
that's a great
and I've been an advocate
too.
Before, like that, you know, sometimes like you don't need to push this stuff, right? Like if you're getting 450 Baez plate appearances and he's a very valuable player, like that doesn't necessarily mean that if you got 600 plate appearances, it would be the same way. But it's like, well, so then what's the, I guess it's just tougher to reconcile when there's also someone like Hap, who where it's like, well, yeah, but he was playing terrible for a decent while. He had some really obvious holes and still does some really obvious holes and things that you can exploit in his swing. Right, off speed stuff down, heat high. right?
Yeah, like, and it's not like should be getting like it. A surefire defender either. At least
right. Can so go it's out just a little strange to me that Baez is having trouble getting in the lineup every day, and now Russell's being taken out seemingly whenever it's convenient, but Happ is in there every day. And I don't like specifically care, right? Like, I like Ian Happ. He's also on the Cubs.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, and it's not really that important to me who specifically is getting the playing time, as long as it, you know, seems to all be making sense and nobody's like development is specifically being like grossly stunted, but it just is a little harder to figure out how to reconcile all of this.
And that's my main concern.
You know, and Schwarber too, you know, like, and I'll, I didn't mean to, cut you off there, but you know, you just him and Happ have struggled mightily at times, not in the same way, but you know, and they're both out there every day basically, and like I guess that's my overall point. I just, it's tougher to for me to have like a real strong opinion on the thing with Russell, because I don't really get exactly how they're doing this. I'm not really sure that how Russell's looked at the plate. And granted, it's been a longer period of time than Happ, but they both look lost at the plate sometimes. So I guess it's hard to figure out why Happ is right. being given such a pass, and Russell and Baez are, you know, I guess competing with each other for playing time.
You can put Zobrist in right field and Hayward in the center and Baez in second base just to give, you know, sure. Baez more plate appearances too. And he's been playing really well the past month. Mm-hmm.
Really well.
Yeah, I get, again, it goes back to, I just think Joe being very personalized with how he's handling each one of these players. For whatever reason, he thinks the best way for Happ to get out of his funk is to bat him leadoff, which, look, if that's what you it sounds crazy to think about, but if that's what you think, then go for it, Joe. And if you think playing Addy once every other game is best for him based on your conversations and your feel on his psyche, go for it. I mean,
and it can be. I didn't mean to laugh, kind of to like scoff
no,
it off.
Funny. It just
sounds funny. Yeah,
right.
it just sounds funny. And I can see it. Like, I can see, you know, we know that Addison was reportedly one of the guys getting emotional during Game 7. He's on the younger end of the spectrum. And, you know, I think you can envision him being a guy who compounds things mentally. And when it's going the wrong direction, you know, it maybe is tougher for him than other guys to turn it all around. And you know, just by kind of looking at them and getting a feel for them, Happ seems like maybe a different kind of guy.
Yeah,
you know,
that's someone a good
who
point.
Can kind of trudge
point.
Through it. And again, excuse me, I've never met either of these two gentlemen. I'd love to. If either of you are listening, I could grab coffee. I'll be in Chicago on Wednesday.
You guys can get empanadas.
I would love to get Cafe Tola with Addison Russell anytime. I'm buying, Eddie. But, you know, just on general vibe and the interviews and just the way I've heard them speak, Addison seems like someone who maybe a little time off, a little bit of less thinking for a few days,
yeah.
and just sort of rooting for the team and calming down a little bit, maybe it can turn him around. And Happ seems maybe like the kind of guy, like exactly what you're saying, where it's like, throw me in the fire, man. Like, I'm struggling, make it worse, you know, right. and that's how I'll get out of it. And again, that's total conjecture.
I think it's fair, though.
But it's a vibe, I guess. It's a feeling, you know, I'm feeling the vibe here.
Well, as you're saying that, I'm kind of envisioning, you know, how all these players react to struggles. And I think even a good comparison is Rizzo. You have a highly emotional player. We know Rizzo's very emotional. And like Russell, I can point back to moments in Rizzo's career, even last year, where Rizzo drastically changes some of his plate approaches, even his batting stance. Go back to the Angel series of last year, if you're really curious about this, and watch Rizzo's at-bats. When he started the season off last year, he had a closed Edgar Renteria batting stance. I don't know if you remember that, Corey, but I was like, what the hell is that? And so the reason I mentioned this is because just like how Rizzo sometimes goes through these funks of just complete horrific slumps, even like last year's playoff run, and how Rizzo, at the same time, sometimes compensates by changing some of his mechanics and his batting stance, so too does Russell. Russell with his hands, I mean, just this past month, it's like every other at-bat, the guy changes his hand depth, his positioning, his depth, even in his batting squat. Like, you can tell he's not comfortable, and he's trying to find the answers. Now, to contrast those two, you look at Bryant. Bryant, consistent most of the year. You never see any deviation from any of his plate appearances, whether it's batting stance mechanics or approach. For the most part, he's the same guy. And I can kind of see Hat following the same line as like a Bryant mindset, where you just stay status quo, you keep doing what you're doing, you attack what's given to you, and you don't deviate too much from your normal self. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's Joe's logic. But regardless, a lot of baseball left. Like I said, we have Marlins for two more games, and the Rockies come to town. And whenever the Rockies come to town, I think of that Chris Bryant homer back in 2015. I know that's one of your favorite moments. But the Rockies are actually a really good team this year, and they've been playing better, and they're in a division fight in that West. And it seems like, surprisingly, the Diamondbacks are up there too. So that's a weird division right now. But anything you're looking forward to, or anything that you're going to keep your eyes on for these next two games against Miami at least?
Well, I mean, I think we've kind of talked about it, just sort of seeing who's playing every day. It's become, you know, quite the affair. So who's leading off, who's playing, who's not playing. And just generally hoping that we can kind of keep this rolling. Like I said, you know, we don't really need them playing their best right now. You've got time to figure these issues out and, you know, time to figure out who the leadoff hitter is and all that other stuff. But I think we've just, in these 4 days, been seeing better baseball. It's nice to see them get some hits with runners on base. That's always thrilling. I know that's a pretty low bar for things. But, you know, and just, again, taking advantage of being at home and trying to build a little bit of a cushion now that they're back at the top of the division. Or, you know, I think they have a game on Milwaukee in the loss column or something like that, or yeah, the win column, whatever it is. But, you know, just hoping to build on that and just sort of, if we can slowly inch into them kind of firing on all cylinders or something like that, that's fine. And, you know, hopefully, like you said, this is the start of a good run that gets everybody feeling good, gets that confidence back up. It is amazing how just different, you know, I think watching the game tonight, it felt very different than it had, you know, like a week ago. I think like a week ago in San Diego or whatever, you know, they have runners on. They have a runner on third and no outs. I could have bet people like, hey, you want to bet $100? They don't get this run in. I don't know how they won't, but they won't.
Yeah.
And it just feels, you know, not that you're thinking, oh, this is the best team in the world again, you know, tonight. But I think just a different vibe. And it certainly seems that way at Wrigley. I'll let you know. I'll be back there on Wednesday. But it just you know, hopefully can keep that going and finish off this homestand on a positive note, and just kind of get back to generally playing good baseball and winning the majority of the games. Because I don't know about you, hot take alert, more fun than losing.
Oh, that's a big hot take.
Yep.
So tomorrow we have Arrieta versus Jeff Locke, former Pirates, longtime pitcher. They've seen him a lot. So, I mean, we could finally see that one offensive breakout day tomorrow. That would not shock me. And then Wednesday, are you going to the game Wednesday, Corey?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to see John Lackey. And this, I'm going to mispronounce this name because this is actually Pat Hughes' fault because he messed with my mind today. I don't know if you were listening to the broadcast, but he doesn't know how to say, is it Urania, Urania, or Urena? Like, he went through three.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, thank you, Pat Hughes. I know you listened to this as well. So I think it's Urania on the Marlins. He's 3-2, got a 3.8 ERA. Seems to be doing pretty well. Lackey, not doing well. 4.9 ERA, 4-5 record. His FIP is also above 4, even though his ex-FIP is below 4. So maybe we see Lackey start to return a little bit. I've been less concerned about him recently, but still concerned nonetheless. Anyway, we'll see. I feel like every time we come back after a series, there's something that's drastically different. I mean, we went from Schwarber batting second to batting ninth. So we'll see what happens next time we talk to you.